Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Amen. We talked this morning about experiences. There's an experience of the Christian life, but not many perhaps experience it in its full. It's the unity that we know of the Spirit. It's real, it does exist, and in our lives we are to know and to endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now what happens in our life is this, is that as Christians we can miss it. We can not be part of it. We live in a world which is fragmented in many ways, and the Christian church knows of such fragmentation. But nevertheless, as we read tonight, there is a blessing in the unity and coming together of God's people. It may be that you've been a Christian for many years, but you've never really known what the psalm has spoken of, because you don't know what it is to dwell together with others. You have a Christian experience, you come to church, you come to chapel. Many people do. And they go, but they don't dwell with other believers. They do their business with God and they think that's enough. And they don't enter in to become part of that body, to be knit together. You find it that in the days in which we live in a time where there's always some problems in the life of the church. Church splits, schisms take place. And if I asked you about your Christian life, you say, well, I don't know about unity, but I do know, sadly, the pain and the distress of being part of some fellowship or meeting where people have, you know, just fallen out, and it's caused a lot of pain and damage. I mean, we live in a day where people actually believe that they can become Christians, and you can. You become a Christian tonight, let me assure you, by simply believing on the Lord Jesus. You come to him tonight and you repent and you have faith in him and you can know what it is that your sins will be forgiven. But then they live a life, part of the invisible church of God, but not part of the visible church of God. And that means that because they know that they're Christians, but they've never really joined with a body of believers and as a church. And because of that, they've not known really of this experience, which is spoken of here in Psalm 133. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, it does definitely exist. I mean, but I'm speaking to you tonight about something which is very precious. I want to talk to you about the preciousness of this experience which now David writes to us about. Actually, you may have met many people in life. I tell you, soldiers are one of them. They've been on service, they have entered into conflict, and they've been forged together in difficulty. And when someone leaves the services, they find it very difficult, because there were moments in their lives where such was the uniting and camaraderie which they had together, they've lost that. It's only for a moment and for a time. It was a number of seasons ago when, believe it or not, Leicester City won the Premiership league table. They were 500-1 outsiders, and it's only 18 in the league. And what happened was this: on circumstances brought them together. They began to play for one another. You can't manufacture it, but it happened, And as they were united in that season, they did more than they could ever have imagined. And in the life of the church, let me say to you, in one's experience of being here for so many years, there's been moments. And that's what it's like in your Christian life. You'll know of it. There was a moment, there was a season, there was a time. And it was only for a time, but there was a coming together of one mind, of one purpose amongst God's people. And those were very precious times. Things happen, disappointments come, but they're precious indeed. Now, what happens here, I want to speak to us tonight, is that David now writes to this psalm, and he's got a number of things to say. How precious it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And first of all, very simply from this psalm, from verse 1, he knows and he says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to do that. David was king of a confederacy. It was a nation made up of 12 tribes. He knew what it was to have a schism in the nation. Rebellion took place. But he also knew the day of what happened when it was very special. You can read about it in 1 Chronicles, I think it's chapter 12, where God brought the tribes to him. And when you read that account in the history of God's people, you can't help. When you think of miracles that take place in God's word, then that was one of the miracles that happened. How the Spirit of the Lord came upon the captain, Amaziah, and he said that we are for you. And David knew what it was, that this nation now had been united around him and to him. And it was a remarkable work of God. Political parties today have no idea whatsoever of what then David is speaking of. They would love to have such an experience where those around them, instead of jockeying for position, instead of looking for their own interest, instead of having the power struggles, to have that one moment where they are then together. David knew it, how good and how pleasant it is when that takes place. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And David knew that too, the experience that we sadly know of what happens when we're not together. No one can stand. And let me assure you tonight that in the life of the church here in this land, the problems are not outside these four walls. Your enemies are not those in the clubs or in the pubs. When one has seen the cause of Christ crumble in various places, I assure you it's come from the inside. There's been some falling out, some disharmony, something which is not going well. And all of a sudden, churches which claim and had big kind of preaching, it makes little difference. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. If anybody has been part of such a work, you need to come to God tonight. Because these things are desperate when it comes to the things of the testimony. Let me give you a little example. I was preaching a number of years ago down the south of the county. I met a man, and he had been born and bred in this area, and he knew everything that had gone on. He was a churchman, and then he told me the story of how this little chapel was formed just south of the county. And he said what happened was this. There was a church, a little chapel, and they fell out. And when they fell out, there was this. They built another one. And they called it Spite's Chapel. Spite's Chapel. It was known in the area as Spite's Chapel. And he says, well, it didn't last long. There's always a bad testimony. And I assure you again, look, you may not realize it, but in ministry, there have been moments because people are not, well, always something not right. Three particular moments. And I can assure you, when it comes into the church, you've lost 6 months of ministry. So in my years, I would say that 18 months of standing in front of people, the word of God being quenched, has dissensions and divisions and jealousies and little wrongs and all that kind of thing. Now David says, listen to him, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And what happened was, is that David, who penned this because he knew it, it was then placed into the Psalms. And in that account of the Psalms, you find it in the account of what's called the Psalms of Ascent. That was now that when the people of God would go to Jerusalem, they would go on certain days and certain festivals, and these were the psalms that they would sing from Psalm 120. Now, when these psalms were sung, the nation was greatly divided. The 10 tribes of the north, the 2 tribes of the south, they were a nation. But they were moments, just moments in their days, where they came together to worship God. And as they would make their journey throughout the country, they would sing to one another those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and they would encourage one another. And it was good. Behold how good it is. And there are moments in your life where you know that. And I want you to consider tonight, behold how good it is. You can behold it in the New Testament. You can behold it where they were there as they came together with one accord and they prayed together. And they came around the Lord's table, and how they came and they had fellowship with one another. And when that took place, do you know, people saw it and they said, look how these love one another. You take note of that. You can read it in the New Testament. Our Lord Jesus, look, he tells us, it's powerful when God's people come together. You find it there in that New Testament too. When Peter and John went to pray, whatever your work may be, whatever you think you're doing in the Christian life, we live in a day where people do their own thing. They're like lone rangers and they're not accountable to anyone. It was never like that. Do you realize there's a strength in unity, even in the work of God? And when you're divided, you won't stand. There was a time when Peter and John went to pray. You remember it? And there was a man there who was lame. And you know what they said to him? Look at us. Look at us. I think there's some strength in that. Look at us. And when you come and you do that work, isn't it good? You don't realize when this work goes on, and it's not just one person speaking one thing. And then the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he was on this earth, he came. He came to die for a people to be united. The Lord Jesus on that cross of Calvary came to that place that we could be reconciled to God and to one another. And the Lord Jesus Christ on that night in which he was betrayed, he prayed in the garden. And his great prayer was this, is that that unity which was with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, that oneness that Jesus had with his Father from all eternity, he prayed that that would take place amongst God's people and they would know what it is that they too would dwell together and not just come here and there, but they would dwell and they would know of that. In was that the power of it, the testimony of it, the strength of it. We can't even begin perhaps to imagine, but there are moments as these people went to their place of worship, a testimony to the world of what God had done in their lives. And there was one God to be worshipped. And they had one faith. And there was one baptism. And there was, one. And you could go. Let me give you another testimony I never forgot. It's of a woman who I think looked to me anyway, not good in ages, but she looked over 70. And what happened was this, is that I was in this meeting and I was asking about testimonies or whatever. And she told me the story of how she became a Christian. And she became a Christian when she was 6 years of age. And this was about 20 years ago. I'm saying it, but I'm thinking now, perhaps she's no longer with us. And she said, what I used to do, I used to go with my parents to a place of worship. It was a little mission hall. You know the mission hall. It's not a mission hall anymore. It's a lovely, great building. They've just done an extension and the rest of it. But it was a corrugated little tin shack. It was free school court. And she said, when I was there, all I could remember was this, that everything in that meeting, they were united. I was 6 years of age. They would pray to Jesus. They would sing to Jesus. A man would give a word to Jesus. They would know. And it would be something in the meeting of a unity, of a unity. And what you find is that you come and it is that which is good and that which is pleasant and that, you see, which is right. And look tonight, I want you to think about it. It is like precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard. And it's not just that it's good, it's very precious. I want to mention two things of what happens in these two verses. He gives us two pictures. He gives us one picture from the religious court, and then he gives us one picture from nature. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. And I want you to think of what's precious. And if you've ever known in your life of that moment and that time where you can come with God's people and you're of one mind and of one heart and of one purpose, you may never have known it. It's very precious because sometimes it's very rare and there are only moments that we may know of it. Something which is precious is something which is normally very costly. And so is the unity of God's people. And that was costly. I know there was a woman who came one day and broke an alabaster box of very costly ointment upon the feet and the head of the Lord Jesus. It was like a pension pot. She just poured it out and people were against it. But when you think of this, what he speaks of, when God's people are together and they dwell together, it's like precious ointment. And it's that which is so costly. And as I mentioned to you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, when you think of what we are here as a people, what Jesus Christ has done cost him on that cross of Calvary. In Ephesians 2 and verse 14 and 15, that there he did, he made one new humanity out of two, where Jew and Gentile could be together and that they could join in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's done and he's achieved it and he has produced it. And you need to wake up and to realize, to listen with your ears, to look around you tonight. You've come to this place, February, a winter's night, and you're all from different backgrounds, different temperaments, with different experiences and different ages, and you've all got different ideas about various things, and there you are, all one of you, here in this place. There is not a society on earth which knows what you know of. They may be all of the same club, of the same golf course, of the same business, of the same ideas, but you've come. And only God can do it, and he has done it. It's that wonderful work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. It's this work which you've got here. It's very precious. And you know, it's very rare. It's described here as the oil which is upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. That is a very special oil. You read about it in the book of Exodus. It's where God tells and gives instructions about the tabernacle and about how then the priests should be consecrated. And what was to happen was there was to be this special oil of anointing which was to be placed upon the head of the high priest Aaron. That oil had certain ingredients. Do you know today, so I'm told, you cannot make this oil. They don't know the exact ingredients. It's not something that could be manufactured. And in those days, it was not something to be replicated. Actually, there was a death sentence on anybody who tried to make the oil, which then was on the head of Aaron. It was distinct. It was separate. It had that aroma which was like no other. And when now David speaks of what it's like when God's people come together and you go all in one accord and one mind, do you know what happens? It's like that oil which was set apart upon that head of Aaron. And you know it. It's that which is of God and which is from him. Now I believe tonight that that speaks to us of something of our high priest, of the great high priest who was anointed, not with the oil of this world, not something that can be replicated now by human beings. And I know that we all want to get together and we want to have a community. I want to be part of a community and one for another. You can never replicate what's spoken of here. This oil flows from above. It's on the head of Aaron. And as it's on the head of our Lord and Saviour, he's the one who was anointed of the very oil of gladness. Upon him the Spirit dwelt. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, it was from him that you could receive that blessing of the Spirit, because it flows from him abundantly. He was marked out. You say, where is this oil? I tell you, the unity which comes, it only comes from God. It's very special. God made this world and he made a universe, that which joins together. Sin's fragmented it. And when Jesus Christ came into this earth, there is that blessing. And as the commentator said, it flows down running on the beard of Aaron. And if you want to know where it's found today, it's found in that humanity and in the incarnation of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who came into this earth. And he walked as a man, and as he did, he was like you and me. And he was full of grace and of truth. And the Spirit was upon him mightily. He did those great wonders. And it comes and it flows to the very garments, and it flows to his body and to his church. Do you know, tonight, there are those of you in this very place, and the great pain you have in your life, are those relationships which are broken. The pain that you have is the distance which you have between brothers and sisters. And the lack of joy that you've got is because there's the breakdown which has taken place in one's life with other people. Could I say to you, could you not be like that? To touch the hem of his garment, if you would only stretch out your hand, you would find the oil which comes and unites God's people, and you would know of that, and you would experience it. And so it is. It's very precious. Very precious. It's not bought in this world. No one can manufacture it. No one can give it to you. It comes, and the Spirit comes upon our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We come to him, and we know that when we're in him, we're joined in him, one to another, and we know this blessed oil. I want you to look also in verse 3. It's the picture which is taken from nature, and it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. And two things to notice from the verse 2 and verse 3, that this unity is like oil which does flow. It flows down upon the beard, on the garments, and it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, and it's that which flows. It's not stagnant in any way. There's real power, real power. And it does flow. Now, I don't know exactly, but I do know this. It's like the dew which comes down. Those of you which are farmers, you will know this better than most. You don't find dew after a storm. You don't find it. Dew comes when there's been a peaceful night. And you know, there is something you need to learn in our life as a church and as a people. We can go through times of fighting and disappointments and many things. But there's blessing when there's peace. When there's peace among God's people. It's like dew. It's that when the kingdom of David did grow. He was a fighter, he was a warrior, and God blessed him. We know that. But when he gave peace to Solomon, then the kingdom was prosperous. And there are moments, don't take them for granted. That's why the scriptures tell us, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, because he's come and he's made us one in him. And the dew which falls. Now, the dew which falls from Hermon, I'm not quite sure, but they tell me that that is the very source of the River Jordan. It's where the snow then comes and it melts and it goes down and gives its life then to others. That's what it's like. It's like that. And it's very precious. But I just want you to look at this in verse 3. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. There the Lord commanded the blessing. We need the blessing. We need God's blessing on our lives. We need God's blessing as a church. We need God's blessing in this day in which we live, in a day which is fragmented. There the Lord commanded the blessing. You'll have to learn many things in the Christian life. Great preaching doesn't build a church. It does help. But you need unity amongst God's people. There's been places where you could have all the teaching in all the world and they've fragmented and they're no longer in existence. There is something which is needed. The blessing comes when God's people come as one, with one mind. And when you look at the New Testament, there was the wonderful experience, as I told you, in Acts chapter 2. And they came and they were of one mind, praying together. And when they came, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as they came and they prayed, one with another. That's the blessing. Now, what happens is this, and it can happen because we're sinful people. Jealousies, envies, selfish ambitions, grumbling, unforgiveness, all these things don't bring the blessing of God down upon his people. But he commands his blessing. I'm going to read this to you. I found it. It's from a very old book. It's called The Life of God and the Soul of Man. And it's written by Henry Scroggle. And this is what he says. There is scarce a more unaccountable thing to be imagined than to see a company of people professing a religion, one great, and the main precept thereof is mutual love, forbearance, gentleness of spirit, and compassion to all sorts of persons, and agreeing in all essential parts of doctrine, and differing only in some less material and more disputable things. Yet, maintaining those differences with a zeal so disproportional to the value of them, and prosecuting all that disagree from them with all possible violence, or if they want means to use outful force with all bitterness of spirit, they must needs admonish every impartial beholder and raise great prejudice against such persons' religion as made up of contradictions, professing love, but breaking out in all kinds of hatred. This is where the Lord commands his blessing. And you know, tonight, God looks upon us here in Narberth. He looks upon your heart. And he looks upon this meeting and he knows us. And he sees that his people, and he wants you to be in love one with another. Could I put it like this to you? Those who dwell together, That's where the blessing is. Those who pray together. You say, but I pray on my own. No, there comes a moment. You pray together as a church. You carry one another's burdens. And you know what it is to lift one another before the throne of grace. But I serve God. No, when you serve together. No, that's really it. There's power and strength of being with one another more than you could ever imagine. And he commands the blessing. And you say, but in these days, look, when you worship with one another, we're living in days where people think you can worship on Zoom. He said, but no, when you come together and you come in my name, there's I command the blessing which is unto him. Look, we need, don't we? This in our lives, it's a great exaltation. It's very precious. It's very rare. May God grant it to us that we may know it, because we do need his blessing in these days. Amen.